Welcome to the Gut Goddess Show, a podcast for women who are fed up of being tired, bloated, and riding the hormonal roller coaster. This is for you if you're ready to create a better belly and gut health, balance your hormones, and create a more peaceful, happier mind. I'm Kezia Hall, your host, holistic nutritionist, coach, mom to young kids, trauma thriver, science, and holistic geek. And this show explores my three-part methodology, the three F's for feeling good: food, feelings, and function. So if you're ready to create pain-free periods or ditch the toilet, food, and IBS drama and just create a normal, joyful relationship with your body and with the food that you eat without overwhelm, restriction, or crazy health obsession, this is the podcast for you, and I am so glad that you are here. Let's get started with today's episode. We are talking about why do you have low libido? And how can you increase your sex drive? So we're talking about sex today, which is exciting. And really, it's something that comes up a lot with my clients. Low libido is a really common symptom that I ask people about, find out about. And it's something I talk to a lot with clients, but I haven't talked about here on the show. So we're going to talk about sex, baby. Yeah, because sex is great. Orgasms are great. The more orgasms you can have, the more intimacy, pleasure, and connection you can have with another person is going to do your whole body and system so much good. So that is what we are looking at today. But I hope you are well as you are listening to this. We are in spring. It is happening slowly but surely. If you listen to this, I live in Scotland in the UK. So winter can feel dreary. And so when spring starts to spring slowly, you know, you get snowdrops and then some daffodils and then slowly get cherry blossoms and the days get longer. I have been so enjoying the light, the mornings being a bit lighter and it just being less dark. Also, side tip, make sure you get your eyeballs outside. Being in nature and getting your eyes in natural light is so important for your circadian rhythm, for your nervous system, for all of those kind of things. So say as I say that, I am going to make sure I take time to go for a walk today and get outside because I didn't do the school run. And that's, if you do the school run each day, kind of, you hit several birds with one stone. But anyway, a couple of updates from me. Actually, I don't have that much to update you on, I'm not going to lie. My life is pretty cyclical around children and the work that I do, that I love doing. But I am taking on new clients right now. As of recording this, I have three spaces, but I think some of those spaces will have gone by the time this goes out. So if you want to work with me, I have recently upgraded my one-to-one program and renamed it into Bloom. And I would love to work with you in that. It's for women that want to learn how to become well and transform their belly, their hormones, and their mood. And it's really incredible. It's 6 months of support. It includes a retreat in the end of September. If you're ready for change and you're like, yeah, 2024, this is happening for me, join me in Bloom. I know I can help you. I know you can feel better. Just head to keziahall.com/book to book your call. Just book in straight there or keziahall.com/bloom. Because I'd love to work with you. Those are all my updates. We're just going to dive in and start talking about sex because if you listen to this podcast, that's what you want to find out about. So let's go. We are actually talking about sex, baby. Let's talk about you and me. Let's talk about, I don't know the rest of the words, but we're actually going to be talking about libido and how can you increase your sex drive? Because this is actually a really common symptom that my clients come to me with. They're just like, I just don't want to have sex. Not at all. And I realized recently I was chatting to a client about this and she was saying how her libido has definitely gone up and she actually wants to have sex and is enjoying it. And that's been like for the first time in like many, many years. And I was like, I've never spoken about this on the podcast, but I speak to my clients about this all the time. So we are rectifying that right now. And we're going to be talking about why are you disinterested in sex? Why the low libido? And how, and really help you to understand all the different factors that can be affecting your sex drive. Because let's be clear, sex is great for you. As a female, which I imagine most of my listeners are female, having regular sex solo on your own, self-pleasuring, or with a partner who you feel safe and love, well, maybe you don't even need to love them, but you feel safe with, is really helpful It's so good for you. It is great for your nervous system. If we're thinking about a way to regulate your nervous system, an orgasm is a great way. If you're really stressed or really anxious, orgasms, brilliant solution. Really good solution. Fantastic for your immune system as well. Like for your mental health, like I could literally just go on and on about how biologically beneficial it is for a woman to have regular orgasms and to be just enjoying. And it's not all just about orgasms. Sex is more than that, but to be enjoying intimacy and connection with another person. It could be massage. You know, how great is having a massage if you like that, or whatever it is that you like that feels good, because sex is mainly about enjoyment, pleasure, feeling good, intimacy, connection. It's not a very thinking, analytical process. It's a feeling, pleasure process. And that is so good for you. It is so good for you. But most people I work with, that is the last thing they want to do. They're just like, it just feels like another task. There's zero desire. They maybe feel bad about it, especially if they're with a partner long term and they're just like, oh, I feel so bad for them because I just, oh, I don't want to. So, and I feel like we're really either uneducated or miseducated about this. So I'm going to share with you my slice of the pie, my perspective. And that is by no means the comprehensive Bible doctrine of libido and sex drives. There's loads of great books out there. One of the best books I've read is Come As You Are by Emily Nagowski. If you just put like Come As You Are book Emily into Amazon, it will be there. That's a great book that kind of goes into some more of the relational, cultural, systematic aspects. So the things that I'm going to share by no means do come from books like that that I've read, but also they don't go against any of that other more wider relational, social aspects of it. But I also think we don't really realize how much our hormones impact our sex drive, how much our what's going on in our brains and our health issues. So if you've got low libido, you're in the right place. We're going to talk about this. You can put headphones on if you don't want, you might not want everyone to know that you've got low libido, but let's be honest. We talk about poo. We talk about bleeding. We talk about all the things here. So there can be lots of reasons for low libido. There can be the relationship itself. There's disconnection. There's not intimacy. There's not safety, you know, relationship issues. There can be safety issues. There can be the understanding and awareness of your own self, of what your own desire, what your own body needs, which is really important. And also removing then judgment of what it is that you, whatever it is that you want, whatever your desire is. And that's some of the stuff that I'm not really going to cover. I'm not a relationships expert, nor am I a psychologist, but that's where that book, Come As You Are, can be a really helpful resource. Talks a little bit more about that. But there is a really big part of this understanding yourself, understanding Emily in that book, Comes As You Are, uses, I think it's the analogy like red lights and green lights, understanding what is helps you to have more green lights and what helps you to understand what creates red lights for you. And that is individual. So there does need to be awareness. And it's really helpful to also be aware that the culture that we live in is very, it's a very one type set of one type of sexual sex life being represented. There's like one type. And actually the reality is there's loads of types of sexual expression and sexual pleasure. It's not just like this one kind of porn based, oh, this is how sex is. No, there's loads of variety. There's loads of diversity available. So just because you don't fit that model where, oh, you look at someone's genitals and I'm immediately turned on, that might not be you. If that's you, then don't worry. If you're a female, that's most females. But that's what we get told in culture. So there's an awareness of the culture that you're in and all those kind of things, which I'm not going to dive into loads. I want to talk about some of the biology of it all, which is a part I think a lot of people really don't realize. So hormones. If your hormones are really out of balance, you're not going to want to have sex. Part of, you know, if you think about a time in your life when you were like, I need to have sex right now, my libido is high, one of the contributing factors to that feeling was probably your hormones, was probably your estrogen rising, your testosterone was playing a good role. Those were all working and set up for you that drove this biological urge to have sex. it's really interesting when we, because low libido is actually not something I've ever massively struggled with, apart from when I was breastfeeding, especially remember with my son. I remember being like, oh my goodness, like, yeah, I'm not interested in sex at all. It's not like I don't like it. I just take it or leave it. Don't care. Like there was, because I wasn't cycling. So I was having no peaks of estrogen, no big surges of testosterone, no ovulation, said another way, because that's basically what I'm saying. No, I wasn't cycling. I wasn't having any ovulation. I was breastfeeding. I didn't have my periods back. There wasn't that hormonal cycle. Therefore, I wasn't really interested in sex. So that, your hormones play a huge role. And that was the first time that I was like, oh, okay, this is a really obvious example of this. It makes sense also because right now I'm still caring for my baby. I'm nursing them. Like biologically, it makes loads of sense. And there was just a lack of interest there. And so if your hormones are out of whack, whether because you're on the pill, which kind of gets rid of your ovulation, whether it's because you're postmenopausal or your hormones are maybe just really wonky, your estrogen's a bit low, your androgen hormones are too high. Like if your hormones are just out of balance, then that can really impact your sex drive. Also, because it can be like if you get cramps for the 2 weeks leading up to your period, or you've got really sore boobs for 2 weeks leading up to your period, of course you're not going to want to have sex. If you get really low or really anxious or in a lot of pain, of course you're not going to want to have sex. Like, hello. So hormone balance plays a huge role. And the main hormones we're talking about are estrogen and testosterone that play a role. But generally with your hormones, you're looking at this whole balance. And cycling and having healthy, regular ovulation. Ovulation is the time when you have a fertile egg ready to be fertilized in the body, which is why that's when you would want to have sex. Before, during, and after that whole ovulatory time, which is generally the middle of your cycle, that's when you're going to want to have sex. And so that's why it's really helpful to track and know your cycles as well. A, to know if you do have hormone imbalances going on. And also to know like, oh, roughly around this time. So if you can almost like, if you're a planner, you can kind of plan it, not necessarily plan sex in, although I know people do, but you can kind of think about, oh, this is going to be a good time for maybe to do some self-pleasure or massage with my partner or go on a date even. You don't even have to have sex, but it's that ovulatory energy, that sexual energy, even if you don't actually ever have sex, it's totally fine. But it'd be a great time to go on a date with somebody or just be aware that that energy is rising. So hormone balance plays a huge role. Another thing that plays a huge role is your health in general. So if I think about some of my clients right now, when they came to me, they were in pain, had joint pain. So if your joints are painful, most of the time you're not going to have sex. Obviously, when there's a will, there's a way. If the libido is there, obviously you can have lots of great sex with pain in your body. There's loads of ways to do that. But a lot of the time, the pain is the result of lots of other inflammation, lots of other mitochondrial issues that's generally going to get in the way of libido. So if pain is going on, if there's a lot of fatigue, if you're already exhausted, the last thing you're going to want to do is to want to have sex. If you're really bloated or you're really sore or you have constant urinary tract infections or you have constant thrush or all of these other health issues are going to get in the way. So you've got to remember libido is the result of the rest of your life. You wanting to have sex isn't just something that should just happen. It's the result of your day-to-day living. 2024 is your time to bloom. It's your time to be done with feeling dull, foggy, frumpy, fat, sore, uncomfortable, or just limited by your symptoms in your body. And if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, which I know some of you have, and I'm so glad that you're here, I want to invite you to come and bloom with me. I have transformed my one-to-one program, and now my signature one-to-one six-month private program is called Bloom, and I'm taking on new clients right now. This is for you if you are struggling to see results on your own and you're just ready, you just know that you want to become the most radiant, confident, happy person that you can be. You want to feel at home in your body. You want to feel at a healthy weight. You want to feel just good without pain, being able to do things and no longer feeling limited by your symptoms, by your lack of confidence, by body image issues, by pain, by toilet issues, hormone drama. You just want to feel good. Bloom is my six-month premium program for people that are ready, like totally ready to be done with all the health drama, but they know they need guidance, they need strategy, they need support, they need personalized data. That is what Bloom is for. It also now includes an in-person retreat if you want to come to that. And I am currently taking on new clients. The way you get started is just to book your free clarity call. It doesn't commit you to anything. I would honestly love to chat to you. Even if you decide not to work with me, that's totally fine. You head to keziahall.com/book to book in your free clarity call, and I would love to speak with you. This isn't a will it work for you? It's really about if you're ready. I know this can work. A holistic, personalized nutrition and lifestyle approach can work for you. I've seen it time and time again. The question is, are you willing to decide to bloom? Are you going to allow yourself to become the most healed, radiant, confident, and happiest version of yourself? And if that's you, and I feel like the right person for you, keziahall.com/book to book in your free call, or you can go to keziahall.com/bloom, B-L-O-O-M, to find out all the details and the payment plans. Also, if you sign up soon, there'll also be a special discount and extended payment plan. So I'd love to chat with you, keziahall.com/bloom, and I'll speak to you soon. And if your day-to-day living is full of bloatedness, fatigue, pain, discomfort, feeling awful in your body, then obviously you're never going to want to have sex. Like, that's just, hello. So it's really helpful to remember that your libido isn't a switch that you switch on and off. It's something that you cultivate each day. And so if each day you're constantly feeling exhausted, sick, run down, burn out, that's not, you can see how that's not overly conducive to wanting to have like super hot, great sex at the end of the day or at the middle of the day or at whatever point you want to have it. So it's really important. Your health plays a huge role. And we, because of the culture, because of the warped sexualized culture that we live in, we've kind of been told that sex is a switch. And sometimes that can be more the case for male bodies of like this on off, and generally is less of the case for female bodies. But for all people in general, I think it's helpful to know that desire for sex is the result of the rest of your life, the rest of the relationship with your body, what's going on in your body, the health issues happening in your body is going to affect your libido. So one of the best ways to increase your libido is sort out the rest of your health. It happens all the time with clients. The client that I was speaking to recently was telling me the sex drive's gone up. It's not the first time someone has said that to me, because when you work on the rest of your health, you're getting rid of the obstacles that are getting in the way of that pleasure, of your nervous system regulating of that time. So hormones play a role, health issues play a role. Next thing is body image. That plays a huge role, right? And if you just feel really awful and horrible in your body and really fat and frumpy and lethargic and like, ugh, again, it's not gonna, you're not gonna be like, hey, let's get it on with myself or with anybody else. Because ultimately at the root of poor body image is you don't like yourself. And why would you cultivate pleasure and this deep intimacy with something you don't like? It's really hard. Or why would you allow someone else to cultivate a deep intimacy with something that you don't like? So body image plays a huge role. And that's why I'm also a coach as well as a holistic nutritionist. We need to do the geeky work of balancing your hormone, balancing your estrogen production, helping ovulation, helping with your detox pathways, getting rid of the pain, increasing your energy, dealing with the bloating, getting rid of IBS, boom, boom, boom. That stuff needs to change. And we also need to change your relationship with your body so that there can become more neutrality. And hopefully over time, there can be more appreciation with your body. And then over time, hopefully there can be more love. Again, you can start with just appreciating your body and feeling neutrally about it. And over time, the goal is that you actually really love and cherish your body. And that's, so when you're thinking about sex and libido, that's not a barrier, because there's, you're not warring with this thing that you don't like. Your body, you like your body. You're proud of your body, even though it's not perfect, even though there's wobbly bits and scars and all of those kind of things, because that will get in the way of your libido for sure. The other thing, the fourth and final thing that gets in the way of low libido, and I've seen this all the time with clients, especially if they are a mother and have a family. So often, especially if they are with a male partner, is the mental load. They're just going to bed and their brain is full. They are so full of work activities, stuff for the kids, stuff with the uniforms. Oh, they've got a party the weekend. We need to get the present for that. Oh, that's broken in the bathroom. We need to sort that. And then we need to clean the bathroom. We also need to fix the bed. So-and-so wet the bed. So we need to dry out that mattress. We need to get another mattress. And we need to get a mattress cover. And we also need to do this. Oh, and then the car is absolutely disgusting. And I need to drop this consent form for this medicine to give my kids at school. And I need to book a dentist appointment. And I need to do this. And then I need to phone my friend because she's having a really hard time. And I'm being such a bad friend. And then we've got this family. It's huge. So if you're going to bed with that in your head, if you're going to bed not relaxed, if you are carrying the entire mental load of your family unit, whatever that looks like, you're carrying the food, the social calendar, the home, the work. If you are carrying everything in your head, if your mind is so full that it cannot switch off and you're constantly thinking about loads of lists and you've just honestly got so much to do, again, that's going to affect your libido. And I will say a lot of the time women will just think, blame themselves for not coping very well with all the tasks. They feel like it's a personal failing. From my experience as a coach, from witnessing other people and coaching people through this and my own life and just looking at our culture in general, it's not because you're doing a bad job. It's because you are being asked and it is being assumed that you will take on the majority of the unpaid labor of your family unit. That's roughly how it works. And we know that through research and statistics is that the females tend to take on the unpaid labor of a household that can equate to a part-time job of being unpaid, obviously. So it's really important, especially if you have a male partner that maybe does want to have sex a bit more, share the mental load. It doesn't begin with lingerie. It begins with actually them taking on, right, fully taking on. They do all the doctors and dentist trips with the kids. They organize them, they plan them, they think about them. An example in my own life, we've done a lot of work around this since having kids because there was a lot of assumed roles that I thought I should take that I thought would make me a good mom, blah, 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 blah. And so I was always failing at getting birthday presents for people. I have like 12 nieces and nephews now, maybe more than that. I've lost count. So even if I'm just getting presents for nieces and nephews, there's at least one a month and I was forgetting and I don't want to forget kids' birthdays because it's important. And then there's also my family. I'm one of four. So I have siblings and then their partners and then my parents and then my husband, he has families and their siblings. And so if we think about everyone in my head, I want to buy presents for, that's probably about 30 to 35 people a year, which roughly equates to 2 to 3 people a month. I was not doing that. And it was one of these quote unquote small tasks that was stressing me out. What do you get to them? How much is the budget? What do they want? What's their address? How do you get it to them? And I was just failing at it. And I hated that I was failing at it. So this is an example. And this is something I've totally delegated over to my partner. He is, so now he does that. He has a spreadsheet. He organizes it. I literally don't think about it. I don't even say, don't forget to get a present for Hugo. No, it's not my job. Not my job. It's also what I had to do in order to do that. And this is a small example. I've done this in so many areas of our family life and our marriage and our family units. Really important. It's also realizing the person I'm married to is a really intelligent person. He actually has a PhD from Cambridge. So he's very intelligent. He's really good at his paid job. He performs very well at that, gets very good feedback. So what does that mean? He's very capable. Is organizing birthday presents for family a really intellectually difficult task? No, it is not. Can he do it? Yes, he can. So you've got to, if you're in a partnership, you have to raise your standards and expect your partner to show up with the same rigor and intelligence and proactiveness as they do in their paid job. That, in my opinion. Otherwise, you are going to take on so many of these jobs, like birthdays. Again, not that hard. And the mental load is very rarely a lot of very intellectually challenging tasks. It's just a lot of tasks. You've got the birthday present thing. Then you've got your friends, all your kids' birthday parties that they're going to. So you need to get their presents and liaise with the parents, find out what they want or don't want. And then you've got dentist appointments for all your kids, and then doctor's appointments, and then school forms, and then school trips, and then school uniforms. And then, like, my son, for example, has lost his PE shoes, and he's not had PE shoes for weeks and weeks now because it's not an intellectually difficult thing to go and do, but it's the mental load of doing it. So if you're struggling with your libido, you might have kids, you might not have kids, look at the mental load. Are you the one that's always preparing the meals, thinking of the food, shopping for the food, cooking for the food, making sure it's healthy? That's a big mental load. So if your libido is low, you need to create more space in your mind, more white space, so that you can relax. Because chances are, when you want to have sex, you don't want to have sex when you feel like you have a massive to-do list, right? You just don't, because you're too busy. Sex happens when there's pockets of time, when there's relaxation, when there's space. You know, it doesn't happen with, like, for most people, of like, oh my gosh, I've got so many things to do. Oh yes, of course I want to have sex right now, because that's not a quote unquote productive thing. So why would you do it? There's nothing productive about having sex. It's not like you have that on your tick list and you tick it off. It's not going to help me get my son's PE shoes. No, so you have to deal with the mental load. Okay? I hope these four things have helped. And I plan to do more episodes about sex. I love talking about sex, but I haven't talked about it here very much at all. But I know it's something, this low libido is something that so many people that I work with struggle with. So if that's you, you're not alone, and it is really, really common, but it's not actually normal. It's not normal to be totally disinterested in sex. That's not a good sign. Part of healthy hormone balance, healthy humanity, healthy fertility, whether or not you want to have a baby, is wanting to have sex. Now, everyone's sex drive is different. How often and what that looks like can be totally unique to you, but there needs to be that desire to have it at some point on some regular-ish kind of cycle is really important. It's a really important part of you being healthy. So if it's not there at all, it's a symptom we need to look at. It's something we need to address. And probably one of these four things is going on. Your hormones are out of whack, you've got other health issues, body image issues, or the mental load. So if you want help with that, I'm taking on new clients right now. I would love to work with you. These are the kind of things I just deal with. That's why I work with people over 6 months. You might be like, oh geez, Kizzy, I definitely have hormone issues. I was on the pill for 10 years and now I have loads of acne, and then my mental load's huge, and oh my gosh, my relationship with my body, oh my goodness, this is all a lot. That's why I support my clients for 6 months, because we need that time to really deep dive, do a deep dive into your health, so that we can sort out all the health issues and the symptoms, and so that you can cultivate this radiant, wonderful thing that is health. Because you get to be a well woman. You do. I know it's available for you. I know it's possible for you, and I would love to help. So you can find out more at keziahall.com/bloom. And the main thing to do if you want to work with me is to book your clarity call. But anyway, I've already talked about that. So I hope this episode helps, and I hope you go and have lots of great sex and orgasms, because it will do you so much good. Okay, see you next week. Are you wondering what the heck is going on with my body? What is with the bloating, the hormonal roller coaster, the pain, the fatigue, your inability to lose weight? And you know you want things to change, like that, you're very clear on that. You want something to change, but you have no idea what direction to head in. You read stuff, you listen to stuff, but how do you know where to begin? How do you know where to start? What's the first steps? If that's you, then I want to give you some answers within the next 10 minutes. Go to keziahall.com/quiz to do the free Gut Goddess quiz, and I'm going to point you in the right direction, give you three things that are going to help you, help your symptoms, and get you started so that things feel clear, doable, and that you can actually see some big shifts. So go to keziahall.com/quiz, complete the quiz, then come back and listen to the rest of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And if you haven't left me a review yet, please go to iTunes, scroll down, look at ratings and review, and give me a 5-star review and leave a few comments. That really helps the podcast to reach more people. And if you want to know more about anything I mentioned in the podcast, you can go to the show notes at keziahall.com/blog. And I would love to hear from you if you have any other questions. And please share this podcast with anyone that you know that you find helpful. Screen share it, put it on Instagram, Facebook, put it in your WhatsApp groups, screenshot it, share it with a friend. The more people that hear about this show, the merrier, because more and more women need to know how good they get to feel.